It's great to be here at camp. It's always a good time of fellowship and being built up in the ways of the Lord. Now, I want to talk about kind of moving on from our natural lives and moving on into the spiritual lives that now we have. Of course, before we were spirit-filled, our lives were entirely natural and we thought naturally and there was nothing spiritual for us, was there? But when we're born again, born from above, there is a change and we are a new creature. I'm just going to quote a few scriptures for time. It says in Romans 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and that it be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove that is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we need this transforming of our mind now that we're this spiritual creature and to move on from the natural mind. And I think we do need to be spiritually minded in a lot of aspects of our lives and reading the scriptures, praying, that the spirit guides us. In Romans 8 and verse 26 and 27, it talks about, it's the scripture we know very well, how the spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be uttered, and it talks about the mind of the spirit and how the spirit has its own mind, and it's not like this lifeless thing that we have in our lives now. It is an actual living thing, the spirit, and it does have a will, the will to do what Jesus taught us to do. In Galatians 5, it says how the flesh lusts against the spirit. So we've got this battle going on, how there's the spirit and the flesh, and they lust against each other, and it's constant struggle. But of course, we want to focus on the spirit and to move on from the flesh and to focus and to build up the spirit in our lives. We'll open up to John chapter 6 and we'll see an example of this. John chapter 6. We're going to just read a couple of verses or one or two here. This is a story where Jesus was talking, preaching the word as he does. And he was saying to everyone listening that, he said, you know, if you want to follow me, you have to drink my blood. Or if you want, what do you say? If you want eternal life, you have to drink my blood and eat my flesh. Now, if you think about that in the natural sense, as these people would have thought without the spirit there, you would think, what are you talking about? Eat your body and drink your blood? That just makes no sense. And we read in verse 63 of John 6, says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And you see, Jesus was constantly talking about spiritual things. He wasn't talking about physically eating his flesh and physically drinking his blood. He was talking about spiritual things. But a lot of people didn't get it, and they thought it was just too weird, too out there, and a lot of Jesus' followers left him at this stage because they just didn't get it. But Jesus was trying to teach them spiritual things. And turn forward to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, we read in verse 12, Jesus again saying, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now, because they're in the flesh and they don't have the spirit. You can't bear them. Howbeit, when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak. So he's got this mind, he will hear things from Jesus, and he will speak them unto us. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So there is a lot for us to learn, a lot for us to understand, but we're not going to learn and understand with our own natural minds. We're only going to learn and understand if we have this spirit, if we build up the spirit and listen to the spirit. And it's such a privileged thing. that we have the Spirit and that we understand what the Spirit is. There's a lot of different Christian denominations out there, and they have all different thoughts and beliefs, but as we know, a lot of them don't actually have the Spirit. A lot of them don't speak in tongues, and though they might say they have the Spirit, we know that a lot of them don't. And when you don't use the Spirit to read God's Word, then you come up with all sorts of wacky and different ideas, which when you read the Scriptures, they may be kind of based on the what the Scriptures say, but without the Spirit, there's no understanding, and the flesh, the mind of the flesh just corrupts the Word of God. We see that all the time around about us. And I'll just show you an example of, well, how I've been tripped up by the flesh. We read in Galatians chapter 5 says, "But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." And that's a kind of scripture that the flesh loves. We're not under the law. I've got the Spirit. And we can kind of think this way and start to think, well, I'm going to speed faster than the speed limit. I'm not under the law. And I remember saying that once to Hayley. I think we were going out. And she told me off for speeding. I was like, not under the law. And she told me, yeah, but we're supposed to follow the law of the, what's the scripture? It talks about following the law of the government. Yeah, something about that. I was like, oh yeah, there is that scripture. And she put me in my place. But we tend to, I know I tend to do this, just look at the scriptures and take little bits here and there and just think about it in a natural sense and think, well, I can do this or that. Turn to 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. Another scripture the flesh really loves. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." And it's that thing again that all things are lawful. I can do anything. And we sort of look at that with our own natural minds and think, yeah, I can do anything. As we read in the scriptures, I've got the right here. I can do anything. And just totally ignoring the parts that, well, it's not expedient to me, or how we shouldn't be brought under the power of any. We sort of kind of ignore that bit. "All things are lawful unto me." And it's kind of thing that our own natural mind can play these tricks on us. But if we study these scriptures, and this one in particular, we'll realize that Paul is actually telling off the Corinthian church here for having these slogans like, you know, "everything's lawful unto me," for using those as excuses for the bad behavior. And it's not a godly behavior to have at all. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. So it's really important to focus on the Spirit and have the spiritual mind, to be built up in the Spirit when we read the scriptures, that we don't see them in with our own natural understanding. Now also, over the years I've come across saints that they like to listen to other teachings from other churches or other Pentecostal preachers or something, and not necessarily to follow them, but maybe they'll find something different, something that might help them in some way. As we will read on here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 1 we read, "This know also, in the last days perilous times shall come." And we've read this many times before, and we know this very well, how men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, blasphemers, and this, that, and the other, and all these, they have all these ungodly qualities. But I don't want to focus on that so much, but jump down to verse 5, and it says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Just going to read that from the NLT. It says, "They will act religious, but they'll reject the power that can make them godly." Stay away from people like that. And it's just full of people like this in the so-called Christian circles out there. And with all their teaching, they act religious. They put on this show of religion, but they deny the power that can make them godly. They deny that there is a power that can change your life. And as we read here, we're encouraged to stay away from such people because they only have a natural understanding of things. And how can you understand the word of God in a with just a natural mind? It's, as Jesus said, the things he was talking about, they are spirit and truth. And you can't understand his things without the spirit. So stay away from other teachings. You don't know where it's come from, whether it is from spirit-filled, truly spirit-filled people, whether they have been built up in the spirit when they've been preaching and all this. So we've gone through a lot of scriptures. I really have to close off. A few scriptures about how we should be led by the Spirit when we read the Word of God. And I just want to touch on how we should be led by the Spirit when we pray to God as well. And, of course, we pray in the Spirit, and the Spirit prays for us and guides us how we should pray. But I just want to ask you, what is it that's driving you to prayer? What is it? Why are you coming before the Lord? Is it purely a natural reason? Is it just a natural reason? Or do you want to come to the Lord and to be built up in his ways, to understand more of his ways, to seek his blessings by being able to help others in the church? I wonder if sometimes we just focus too much on the natural things when we pray to God. But fortunately, Jesus did teach us how to pray. I'm just going to go over that for a sec. He says, after this manner you should pray. He says, and before he says this, he says, you know, God knows what you need before you pray to him. He says, pray after this way. He says, O Father, which art in heaven, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So recognize who you're approaching here. You're approaching God on high, and his name should be holy to you. You should recognize who you're talking to. It's not just your mate next to you, and you don't just go to God, hey God, how about that thing, eh? Yeah, sweet, thanks. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So recognize that God's will be done. No matter what our will is, God's will comes first, and that's what we should be after. It says, give us this day our daily bread. Oh, and it also talks about his kingdom, and we should be looking forward to this kingdom coming, and looking forward to this new age that's coming, beyond this natural age. And it says, give us this day our daily bread. So, yes, seek for the things you need, and daily bread, even the word of God. Seek for those things you need for this day. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and power and the glory forever and amen. And again, it's talking about, you know, keep us from the dangers of this world. Just keep us secure in this meadow that Dennis was talking about last night. You know, keep us in this green pastures and keep us from the dangers, the spiritual dangers that are out there, and give glory back to God. This is the way that Jesus taught us to pray. But we tend to look at scriptures like, we will go to another one, John chapter 14. John chapter 14. In verse 13 it says, Jesus says, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may give glory to the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And yes, we should ask anything of God and of Jesus. And we love these scriptures, don't we? Because I want a new, huge, big house. I want a new job that pays heaps and I don't have to do much. I want this great new car. Lord, you promised to give me anything. And if I ask in your name, you'll do it. But there are other scriptures that talk about how we ask and we receive not, because we ask that we might just consume it upon our lust. And if we think of it in a spiritual sense and ask anything we shall need. And one good example that comes to mind is King Solomon. Now, here's a man who's king. He became king at a young age, and he realized that he didn't really step up to the job that has been given to him. Just like us, we've been given this opportunity to take out God's word, and it is a daunting thing, and it's hard to be bold at times, like Simon was talking about. And King Solomon, he felt that way. He felt like a child, he said. He didn't know how to come in or come out. Anyways, he did this great sacrifice, and Lord appeared unto him, and God said unto him, ask what you want, anything you want, and I'll give it to you. And his prayer was, Lord, give me understanding that I might be able to judge correctly this people of yours, this great nation of yours. He's like, Lord, I just don't have the ability to do this job that you've given me. And in that sense, he sought after the kingdom of God beyond anything else. And that really pleased God. And he said, because you haven't asked for riches for yourself, you haven't asked for the lives of your enemies, I will give you that. He was very pleased with that prayer that King Solomon asked of him. And he gave him a wise and understanding heart, that he was wise, the wisest man that ever lived. And on top of that, he gave him riches and glory and honor, because his heart was in to do the will of God, and he asked God to help him to do the will of God. And I think sometimes we need to just take our mind off the natural world we have around us, and to look forward to the spiritual world, and to ask God to bless us in a spiritual way. And if we do that, he will bless us in this natural realm as well. As Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It doesn't mean now you've entered into the kingdom of God, you've found it, and now time for blessings. It's a continuous thing. Seek after the things of the kingdom that pertain to the kingdom and his righteousness, and all the things that you need, they'll be given to you. Praise the Lord. I'll leave it there.